Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media. Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
Hey, designers and curious minds! Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good, and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. My guest today is Danilda Polanco, a visionary architect, general contractor, and the founder of Dope Architecture Incorporated, a woman-owned design build firm based in Denver, Colorado. With over two decades of experience, Danilda has built a career around thoughtful design that not only transforms spaces, but also uplifts lives. She's passionate about creating homes that reflect the people who live in them, and she brings heart, adventure, and deep commitment to community in everything she does. Danilda Polanco, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having me. It is a pleasure.
It's great to have you here. I want to know your backstory, your origin story. So when did you discover your passion for architecture, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Very interesting question, because I started architecture when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
I graduated from high school. So originally, I wanted to be a scientist. And I told my mom that I wanted to go to Harvard, since I was a very, very brilliant, you know, person in my mind. So my mother said, no, you are going to go to the university in the capital. I am from the Dominican Republic, and I grew up in a small town in the north called Nagua. So she truly pulled out all of the pensums from this university and asked me to take out the ones that I didn't want to study. And architecture was the last one. So I asked my dad, who was a lawyer for construction, and I said, Dad, what do you think about me being an architect? And he said, that is great. You'll make a lot of money. So I said, that sounds fantastic, which that was a lie, as we all know, depending on how you want to go with the career. But that was the choice of studying architecture. And then I moved to New York soon after I graduated from the Dominican Republic. So I was 19 years old then. Moved to New York, started working there with my mentor, Margaret Salamoni, who was also a female that did design build. There's where all of the design build education comes from. And she was very pushy, thankfully, for me to get my license in architecture. And she was like, you have to get your license. You have to get your license. So I did my master's degree at Pratt in order to convalidate my degree. And it was just kind of like a passion of just growing into this profession as I was really growing as a person. So it has really become like my other tool and my passion. I am very passionate about architecture and build.
Yeah. But you're in Denver now. How did you get from New York to Denver?
Love. My love is from here. I met my husband in New York. He is a landscape architect. And we met, had two beautiful kids, and then decided that it was time to raise our kids in the mountains. So we decided to move to Denver. And moving to Denver, I found an amazing opportunity here for the type of services that I offered, which, coming from New York, I totally believed that architects were also designers, since we provided an architectural design product. And here in Denver, most of my customers were just used to the architect to just do like the drawings for the buildings department and not have the full involvement with the design part of the work. So I started to basically offer that service, which was what I was trained on. And it has been a really great success for me.
You were a general contractor as well, and that's not typical for an architect.
Yes.
There are architects who do general contractor and design build services, but it's not typical. How did that happen? Where did that inspiration come from?
So working with Margaret, I was always in charge as the project manager for the projects, for the multiple projects we had. We were very hand-on the construction side of the work. And basically, we controlled the construction except on paper. We always hired a GC to kind of cover all of that, the insurance and that part of it. Moving to Denver, I had a terrible experience with my first job here, which was a referral from New York. And I hired a general contractor here, and it just went totally south. He took the money, middle of construction, the same story.
Yeah, we've heard that story before.
Yeah. So I was left with a project to finish. I started putting together the crews. Since I was already managing the job, besides whatever this other general contractor was doing, and I said, you know what? I am not going to do this anymore. In order for me to control quality, schedule, and budget, I really need to be controlling the construction. So I decided right away to get my license as a general contractor and start offering that full service. And today I only offer the service of design build. I don't do only architecture.
So if somebody hires you, you're going to design it and you're going to build it, or you're not going to work with them?
Correct. Correct. I really find the passion in having both areas, and it benefits my client. I don't want to have the headache of having to work and be fighting with a general contractor, and I have the skills to do it and the crew. So, and the pay is way better.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any issues or problems from your client's point of view that they want to bid it out and they want to get the best price? You know, from their point of view, they want to bid it out to multiple contractors, or because of the way you market yourself, that's not even happening?
It is thankfully not happening. I come from word of mouth. My clients have already seen some of my projects. They come referred from a friend. And it is, to me, just very clear from the beginning, it is a design build services. I don't offer any other combination of that. You are totally free to bid it out if you want. I really doubt that they could bid my prices. Yeah. So I'll actually have the best prices and their best interest.
What does your company look like structurally, you know, in terms of the design side and the construction side? How big is the company and how many people are you working with?
We are small right now in the design department. We are four in my company, and I will be like the lead designer. And then we have a full crew for construction, for any kind of sub-construction that you may need. But I kind of oversee all of the design processes and do all of the selections, and then we put it down for presentations with the other members of my office.
Were there any challenges that you faced moving from New York, starting from scratch in Denver? And it sounds like you started design only, and then by necessity, you ended up doing contracting and then realized this is how we're going to do it. I want control. I want to be able to do the things that I do. Were there any challenges that you faced in launching the firm?
Yes, absolutely. I think the biggest challenge for any new firm is to get work. So, and to get seen with your work. Coming from New York, we were so busy because it was just this architect and I, we never even focused on like photographing our work and keeping tasks with Instagram. That didn't kind of exist in our world then. So I was just so used to that word of mouth type of referral that I didn't focus before on building my own presence. And moving to Denver, it was with my husband's best friend. I told them they're going to renovate their kitchen. And I said, let me do the design for free if you let me professionally photograph the kitchen and the project. And that project got attention with, you know, and Saks wanted to put it in their website and in their magazine. Multiple different podcasts reached out from me in Denver. I started to kind of have a little bit more of a buzz, just that project. So I kind of started building my business through that. Believe it or not, we also have a plant business that works out of my house. It's Dope Plants. So people come into the house and they were like, wow, who designed this house? And I was like, I did it. I am the general contractor. And I started probably five of my earliest projects were just of people that came to buy plants from us. And I will make myself, you know, sound like I was really busy. I'm like, I don't know if I can squeeze you in, but yeah, let me see. And then they will get interested and we'll start the project. So that is really how I started. Also putting together a crew here in Denver to the standards of construction that I had from New York. That was my biggest challenge, because I was my biggest critic besides even my clients, what they were expecting or used to see as a finished product. So here in Denver, there is a tremendous amount of pool of contractors. Since I am Hispanic, Spanish is my first language, which gives me access to a bigger pool of contractors for the work. So that is what I have been really refining, is just embedding my subs to be a team that works efficiently without me having to be there, you know, every day.
Do you ever run into challenges being a woman in construction? Do you ever have any issues with that?
Believe it or not, I have never had an issue as a woman in construction. I always tell other women, because I want to really empower other women to get into construction, we have to run it like a woman. We cannot run it like a man. And when you run it like a woman with respect and compassion and professionalism, everyone works in your site with that same pattern. And when you have the checkbook, everybody listens.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man or who it is. If you're paying, they're listening.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you give contractors respect and acknowledge their experience and their knowledge, you get respect. You know, whether you're a woman or a man.
Absolutely.
You build an ally, you work together, and you design and build great projects.
Absolutely. It is what I stand by. It is to have a respectful site, and everyone runs with that way, even between themselves. And I think if you go that route, you should not have any issues. Probably every once in a while, there will be someone that loses their mind, but not really, not really on my sites. My sites run very smoothly.
Yeah.
In that sense.
How long have you been in business in Denver?
5 years.
5 years.
Almost six years since 2020.
Right before or after the pandemic?
Right before the pandemic.
Just before the pandemic. That's a key.
Right before the pandemic. And we totally ride it out with that job that was with that bad general contractor.
Yeah.
Was like through the pandemic.
Oh boy.
The pandemic, yeah.
So not only did you have the issue with the contractor, you had to deal with the pandemic and all the uncertainties that came along with that.
Correct. And that was kind of like part of the excuse. It was that there was no labor and there were no materials and you know how it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk marketing because you have awards and you have a great website. What are you doing to get noticed?
Instagram is a big platform for me. I really have a lot of people reaching out through Instagram. My clients can also keep up with like the progress of the work at their home through Instagram because I'm every day uploading the status of the work. And that fan base, I think that kind of is the one that has supported me with awards. I am really big about getting reviews back from my clients. And reviews from even my vendors, anyone that we interact professionally, we really try to get their comments in how to improve, how to be better. And it has been a good platform for me.
Do you have a system for those reviews? How do you get them?
But with my clients, it's really by their satisfaction with the work at the end of the project.
So just at the end of the project, you ask for them?
Just at the end of the project, I ask for them and I also make it very easy for them. I put a couple of links. I said, sometimes it doesn't even have to be a full review. If you just give me a 5-star review, or if you just want to review us in different platforms. So for example, like the BBB is a very important platform for most clients, right? It makes you look much more legit than any other reviewing platform. So that will be my first option for them to review me there.
But, so the Better Business Bureau you're talking about?
Yes. So whatever they would like to get that review on, I appreciate it. I will also send them the final photos of the project so that they could upload them to as themselves. So whoever's looking at the review knows that it's not like a fake person reviewing my company. And sometimes it happens with suppliers. Like I will review my suppliers as well. And I will say in exchange, it could review my company and my interaction with me professionally.
Yeah.
And that has helped me tremendously. I get so many calls from Google daily. I get calls on people just looking around the area and being like, I need an architect.
So you're doing good work. You're making sure that your clients are happy. So at the end, they'll happily give you a review. Then you ask for those reviews and you get those reviews and get those published. You're working with Instagram. What does your Instagram strategy look like?
It is based on personal life and professional life.
So you mix them on the same channel?
Yes, I mix them on the same channel because I am always doing so many other things as my hobbies, as a mom, as a wife. So I'll have some people that are really interested, you know, in just looking at me in bikini or other ones. I was like, if you're going to be interested in that, then you're going to have to see my builds as well.
So you attract them with the bikini and then you right. show them some architecture. Got it.
Right. And then they'll be all confused and be like, oh, I might like this because I don't know what I might be getting today.
Yeah.
So it kind of really works during the week. We have mostly professional work that we have between construction and also finished projects. And then on the weekend, it goes more into my private life.
Yeah.
So I think it gives your audience that connection to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they get to know you better and they start to...
Yeah, and to feel free, kind of like a friend.
Yeah, yeah. So when they finally do meet you, they're like, oh, I know Danila. You know,
correct.
She's my friend. I watch her every day.
Unbelievable. And I have the blessing to... 99% of my clients have become my best friends too, my very close friends. So to me, that is one of the beautiful pluses of the work that I am doing.
Yeah, that says a lot about the work that you're doing and the services you're providing, that at the end, that they want to continue a relationship with you, right? Because if you're not doing good work and you're not serving them well, they don't really want to be your friend at the end.
Yes. Well, Mark, I realized at the beginning of my business that I needed to listen to my intuition and that I should not just get work because work was offered to me.
Yes.
So I was like, I need to make sure that there is a good connection between us and that we are aligned in life right now on the same level and that we see the sign on the same level so that I can better serve you as a client. And I work probably with 50% of the people that would like to hire me because of that relationship, of that connection.
Yeah.
And then I know other architects here in the Denver area that I will refer the clients to them or the potential clients to them because my purpose is also to serve in my community. If you contact me for anything you need, I am going to send you to someone that will help you with that.
So you're a connector.
Yes, I am not just going to say, sorry, we don't do that work.
Yeah.
I'll say, we are not available right now, but contact this person. Tell them I send you and they will take care of you.
That's a very good strategy. You make friends on both ends. You make friends with the person that you referred and you make friends for the person that you refer. Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, ARCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at arcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. You said that you take about 50% of the projects that come to you. And that you want to align yourself with their values and their principles and make sure that you align with them. What does that look like? How does that process work? How do you determine that in that early stage of a potential project?
In the earliest stage, it depends a lot on vibe, believe it or not.
Yeah, so intuition.
On intuition, how do I feel with your presence? If I see that you have strong opinions on let's say, the economical side. If we haven't started the project and you're like, I want to save that toilet, you know, for this new house, I'm starting noticing a lot of these different patterns that might become an issue in construction as you get very stressed out of spending tremendous amount of money on a project. Also on age, if you are probably over 60 or 70, I might not be the person you want to be doing this with. You might have too much time for me. I need you to be busy. I need you to be busy doing your life while I take care of this, you know, so that I can be really a trusted ally for your family, which is my hope as an architect. It's like a lawyer or a family lawyer. I want to be your family architect that moved on even in the generations of your family. Now that I have been working in architecture for 20 years, over 20 years, we used to do the work now for like the kids of those first projects that I worked in New York with.
Yeah.
It is crazy, but it's a beautiful experience too.
And we didn't mention it. You do high-end residential work is what your firm typically does.
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm hearing that you use lots of intuition, right? You're sort of, you're talking with people, you're meeting with them, you're listening, right? So you're listening and you're observing and you're looking for those alignments and the red flags, right? When you see a red flag, you don't ignore it.
Correct. And if the motivation is money, that is a wrong motivation. I have found that every time I have gone just for the money, just because I wanted to be busy at the time, I have not been able to first enjoy the project as much as I wish, or it has a bad juju. The process. So I have found that I really have to be excited about the project, or just giving them a good product to that couple or to that person. Just really wanted to be involved in that sense. And that is to me much more important than just getting busy.
Does the client know that when they first contact you? Do they know that they're being interviewed as much as you're interviewing them?
Yes. I told them originally we should meet in person. I typically just have that first call with them when they call me and want to schedule a meeting. And I say, we should meet because I really work on to see if we vibe. If we vibe together and we both like each other, then we keep moving forward on the process of design and working together. They are aware. Yes.
So you're a general contractor, you're an architect, you're a business owner. You mentioned that you're a mom, you're a wife.
Yes.
Do you have any tips for people about balancing all of this, integrating? Or you said that your Instagram is integrated. So obviously your business and your personal life is probably integrated as well. But do you have any advice for architects who are sort of trying to get all these things done too and not having the success that you're having?
I feel part of my success is really my support system around me, an amazing husband that holds down the fort if I need to. My sister also lives close by. She can help me there as well. But I think most importantly is just you really going for what you want. When you are going for what you want and you want to do that with passion and desire and determination and love, everything around you kind of works out.
Yes.
Yes, I have to bring my kids to the site whenever I need to on the weekends at 8 a.m. Come on, they all have roles too in my company. And I'm like, let's go to build the empire. So let's do it. And sometimes I had to do it with them on my lap. You know, sometimes I just wake up at 3 a.m. and get a set of drawings done. Sometimes that is going to just involve much more of your time, of your energy. But when you're just doing it for your goals, it's amazing. It is fantastic. So just get to work. It is not going to happen just by you thinking that waking up at 8 a.m. is an option.
Yeah.
You know,
it takes a lot of work and determination and commitment and, you know, grit.
Yes.
You're going to do it no matter what.
You have to do it. I was truly blessed with having a tremendous amount of energy. So I'm just like a go machine, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Yeah. Not everyone come catch me up, but I appreciate it for this business. I really need it.
Yeah. You talked about your support system. I think that's a huge piece of what you're doing and how you're doing it. You know, having that support system in place that you can rely on people when you need them, whether it's, you know, with kids or whether it's with work or whatever it is. Do you have any advice for people who may not have the loving husband and the sister nearby on how to build that? Because that's so important to have that support system. Any thoughts on that?
I would be giving you kind of like a false advice because I haven't had to experience that myself. But having younger kids, I mean, my kids are now a little older and they have given me the, it's easier once they go to school, right? The time will pass, but you need to do what you have to do today.
Yeah.
They will get bigger. The situation might change. But again, it comes with that grief. If you know you are going to be busy as soon as they wake up at 7:30 to 5, you're going to have to change your schedule.
Yeah.
Again, I wake up a lot of days at 3 a.m. to get things done. I might need to go to sleep with them at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. But it would have to be part of you making your priority. Organizing your day is a tremendous and important part of having a good company and having a good schedule. It's like what is happening during your day, and this must be done. Anything else is noise, and tomorrow is another day. This in work and profession and as a firm, you always have a tremendous amount of work to do. But it's just one task at a time, the priority task, I call it. What is the priority task today? If I have a meeting with electricians on Friday, I need to have my plans drawn. So it's just kind of like that, that whole management of seeing in the next 2-3 month time frame.
It sounds like you do a lot of planning. You clearly have control over what you're doing, which is important. And it also sounds like you don't apologize for anything that you're doing. You've created this business and this life for you, right? And your kids are part of it and your family's part of it.
Yeah.
And you do construction and you do design. And if somebody's got a problem with that, that's their problem. That's what I'm picking up from you. Is that true?
Thank you, Mark. I am working on my being much more graceful when it comes to delivering.
No, that was a compliment, just so you know. That was not a criticism.
Thank you. No. I'm delivering all of this news. I am the example of an immigrant. I moved to this country. I didn't even speak English. So I want to let my children know, my other fellows, workers and immigrants here, there, everywhere, that with dedication, education, and work, you can absolutely do anything you want. That is not going to happen by feeling sorry about yourself. Excuses are number one turn off. Cannot hear any excuses. And everyone I surround myself with has to have kind of like those same alignments, even my workers. I cannot work with complainers. I cannot work with, all I want to hear is, yes, ma'am, we'll find out the way.
Yeah.
There's always a way. So no, I do not apologize for what I have built so far.
Yeah.
It has cost me a tremendous amount of work and pride. And I think it's beautiful not to, you know, there is no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. You're very inspiring.
Thank you.
You clearly have a sense of responsibility as well, that you're building it for you, but you're also building it for your family, and you're building it as an example for others to see that you can do it so they can do it too.
It is definitely my responsibility. It is my responsibility as an immigrant to show the way how we are raised, our education. It is for me to show the youth. I just want them to study. It is like the message I want to send to everyone I see. I see a little waitress and I'm like, go to school and study as much as you can and get the highest level of education that you can get. I find that that is extremely important, especially today in a world that YouTube and Instagram and all of this
yes.
fake success comes to mind. I want to teach, especially my children, it is not coming just from you doing whatever on these platforms. It could happen if you're offering a profession, if you're offering actually something worthy for society, which is at the end of the day what a profession to me is. I have to offer something worthy to my society and to my community.
So earlier on, when you're talking about your Instagram, that you mentioned that you share not only your business and your projects, but you're also sharing your day-to-day personal life.
Yeah.
Does that tie into that responsibility as well, that you're sort of showing the entire story, that it's not just these pretty pictures and these beautiful buildings, but there's some hard work behind it?
Correct. And they could see my kids lifting off stuff and being on the site, either recording me. They could see how sometimes I struggle. I have a car full of materials. I have the reality of it. I'm just super dirty. I go to my construction sites every day. So sometimes I get desperate and I start doing some work myself. So no, it definitely has to show the full picture because it is possible. It is possible to have a balance on profession and personal and be happy and put yourself first. As architects, we have to be very aware of burnout.
Yes.
We are trained early on that 12, 14 hour days are totally normal and okay. And I truly refuse that. I refuse that with anyone I work with. I'm like, I cannot work that way. I will work tomorrow over here very early and produce. But the martyr mentality has to go.
Yeah.
And you have to just be in control as the professional in the room.
Yeah, I love it. I said it before, you're very inspiring.
Thank you.
The vision. What does your vision look like? 5 years from now, where do you want Dope Architecture to be?
Dope Architecture is now doing a shift on the build. We are starting to do our own build. And it was always kind of my original and end goal is to be a developer. And as a path of becoming a developer, it's kind of like staring now into that direction. I have had a good record for financing with the builds that I have already done. So even now, my next project and moving forward, I will be probably serving more as the developer also in the build.
Yeah.
If I find projects that will excite me from just a client, I will be happy to take them. But the 5-year plan is just to become a fully independent developing and build company. And eventually, with my husband, he's a landscape architect, we will design communities here. That is my goal in 10 years. Yeah.
All right. Well, in 5 years, I'd like you to come back and give me an update.
Yes.
And I'm going to be following along. What's the Instagram so everybody can subscribe and follow along?
It is dope, period, arch. On Instagram.
Okay. DOPE.arch at Instagram. And dope is your initials, Danilda Polanco.
Olivia Polanco Estrella. Those are my initials in Spanish. As you know, we have like 20 names and last names.
What is your full name?
My full name is Danilda Olivia Polanco Estrella.
Got it.
And dope became to me as a reminder of my origins, as a reminder of who I actually am. When it comes to architecture, that is not just the girl today. It started as a little girl in my hometown.
Yeah, awesome. What a great story. I have one final question for you. We're talking to thousands of architects. Lots of them have their own businesses. They're all trying to do the business thing too. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Mingle with real estate agents. And mingle with not other architects because they are not going to bring you more work. Mingle with developers and real estate agents and go to your local real estate investors groups. Go to your local entrepreneurs in real estate. Those are the people you want to start mingling with. I have gotten a lot of work from these groups. And literally every time I go, I get a new project. So it is very important because they are lacking your profession. They're lacking the connection to the architect. So that would be, to me, a good source to do something today. Start joining some groups.
Danilda Polanco is her name. Dope Architecture, D-O-P-E, Architecture. The website is dopearch.com. Go check it out. I also want to just thank Lance Psycho over at F9 Productions. He's the one that introduced us to Danilda. Their podcast is Inside the Firm. Go subscribe. I listen to every episode. They're good friends, and they've been supportive of Entree Architect for many, many years. And they introduced me to interesting people like Danilda. So Danilda, thank you for all that you're doing. I mean, the work that you're doing, the way that you're sharing it, inspiring many, many other people to follow you and see your success. I wish you the best, and I appreciate you for coming by here and sharing your story and your knowledge on Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much, Mark. It has been so fun talking to you, and it has been a pleasure.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching. Yep, we have business coaching there. Monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, 2 a month. So 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business. Special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember 3 words. Love, learn, share. Have a great day.
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.
Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.